God is good, amen? God is always good. That is the truth of the matter, right? He's always in a good humor. He's always in good form, and he always has good things for his kids. That is the reality of it all. Anything outside of that is a lie. Anything outside of that is contradictory to the word of God. Circumstances can scream that at us. Situations that we're in can try to manipulate us to believe anything otherwise, but it's not true. He's good. He's good all the times. He gives good gifts to his children, and that is the reality. And when everything else is around us not looking good, we look to God. That was their theme this morning, wasn't it? What a song from boy Don Francisco. That's one of my favorite. I remembered about 9 words of it, but like I just got in there. One of my first gigs as a Christian I went to was a Don Francisco concert in the National Stadium, and I'd no money. Imagine 1989, there was a fiver in and I couldn't afford to go. We were living by faith, myself and Sharon, and I was like, how am I going to go and hear Don Francisco? And then somebody asked me, do I want to work at it and do the door or do something? And I'm like, yeah. And I go there, and amazing the way God learns you things, right, even when you don't want to learn them. And so I'm in there at the practice, and I'm listening to Don Francisco. Adam, I love you. You know, like, I'm like, oh, this is like, he's like the Christian Bob Dylan or something like that, you know? And he's up there, and then the leader came around and says, Noel, by the way, you're outside the building welcoming people. I'm like, what? We're never going to get to hear Don Francisco from out there. I wasn't saying that, it was all in my head. But you know what? It's amazing what God learned. I said, okay, I'm here to serve. And I went outside, and my friend on the way out said to me, William O'Brien says, have a good time out there now. And I'm like, you dirty dog, you. And I get to him out there 5 minutes. Derek Switzer, if anyone knows his name, was the leader. And he says, no, go on back in. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad I kept a good attitude and a good heart towards it. But if you haven't listened to Don, get into it. It's a bit like 80s, 70s and 80s type of style, but you heard the ministry of that word. Did anyone get ministered to? Boy, that will put up your hand. He'll never let go of that hand. That's the beautiful thing of the Father, isn't it? So in the last couple of weeks, I've been, is it 20 to 1 already? Oh my goodness. Right, come on, here we go. I can't believe it, man. That just flew by, praise God. But I've been speaking the last, anyone got keys on them? If you have a set of keys, will you take them out for a minute? I have a rental car key here. And I have, just take them out and hold them in the air just for me. I have a key to my new hall door. And I have a key to my real car. Can you just shake them a little bit? Jingle bells, jingle bells. No, so keys are very important, aren't they? We all have a key of some description in our life. And the last couple of weeks, I've been speaking about the ecclesia. If you remember that, you remember 115 times in the Bible when the word church is used, it's the Greek word is ecclesia, which means the called out ones. So like back in the day, and you can listen over the last couple of weeks that other people have been preaching on it, that like people think I'm going to church, meaning they're going to a building. This building is not the church. We are the church, and we're coming to a building to meet together as the ecclesia. That's what the word means. The called out ones. God calls us out of darkness, calls us out of sin, calls us out of brokenness to him so that we belong to him, that we can worship him and walk with him and talk with him. That's the ecclesia. And if you read that, if you want to know what is afforded to the ecclesia, the church, just take a little study and look at Paul's letters, and he says to the church of Corinth, grace and peace to you. That's what's afforded to us as the ecclesia. That is the grace of God, there's the peace of God, the joy of God. And that's you and me. And the reason why I believe God wants to communicate that to us is to give us a confidence of what we can expect as the ecclesia, as the church of God. Just because someone goes to church doesn't make them part of the ecclesia. Here's how you become part of the ecclesia. You believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You confess your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. You accept that he died on the cross for your sin, that his blood covers all of our sin, guilt and shame, that everything that we need to get to heaven is found in Jesus, and to live on this earth for Jesus is in him. If that's not your life, I want to tell you, according to the scriptures, you're not part of the ecclesia. Just going to church. People think going to church make them part of the ecclesia. No, it doesn't. Going to McDonald's doesn't make me a hamburger. Going to a garage doesn't make me a mower car. Neither just going to church. It's believing in Jesus. It's accepting him as Lord and Savior. And boom, you're into his family. You're translated from one kingdom into another kingdom. And he gives us everything that we need for this life. and even for the next life. And I don't know about you, but that's good news to me, because I was lost and broken in a hiding place, and God called me out. He came to me. He came to you. I didn't come to him. People say, I found Jesus. No, he wasn't lost. I was found. My blind eyes was open. This young sinner was called now a saint, a person who belongs to God. And it's so important that we get that. It's so important that you belong. Listen to the words of the song. Nobody can snatch the ecclesia from his hands. And never will he let go of the ecclesia's hands. In Israel, when they were in Egypt, he called them out. He said, Pharaoh, go in, or Moses, go in and tell that Pharaoh. Go in and tell him he's letting my people go for this purpose, to come out into the wilderness to worship me. Now that's what we're called to, out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery, to who? To him. To him. And I want to continue that in some way this morning. Those keys were significant that I asked you to take out. Because Jesus, listen to this scripture. Look at that one. This is talking about Jesus. I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. And what he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. Isn't that the reality of keys? Keys is that, like, this is the key of my car. I open my car, other rental car. I close it. That's the keys open up things and lock things up. Keys are a sign of authority. Like in Belarus, where our two boys that we bring over from at Christmas every year, Dennis and Ed, they love to have a kluge. That's what they're called in Belarusian. And they go mad just to have a kluge. Why? Because he says the director, the top man of the college or of the orphanage, they have the keys. Whoever has the keys has authority. Whoever has the keys can open up. Like I can say to you, my keys are of my house, let me say. I have the authority to go in. And I have the authority to go out. I have the authority to lock her up. I have the authority to open up the door. That's what key is done. If I give you my key and says, go to my house and eat things out of my fridge, I give you the key. You have now the authority based on the one who owned the key. And this is talking about Jesus, that he has the key. And the keys of David that he has, no one can close. Them keys open and then keys close. What he opens, no one can shut. What he closes, no one can open. Simple as. Now, in Matthew 16:8, which will come up in a minute, you know, I believe Brad spoke on it last week, and Jesus says this. Remember, he says to Peter, who did he say I am? You are the Christ. This wasn't revealed to you by flesh and blood. This was revealed to you by my Father. Do you remember this? And he says, and on this rock I will build my ecclesia, my church, and even the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's how powerful you are in God's purposes. That the ecclesia, even though, who has had what we would say hell come against us? Has it come against you? Hello? Amen. He's going, but it hasn't overcome you. It hasn't prevailed. And even when people think that it has prevailed, that God is in the business of snatching them out of that place and landing them. Listen, the devil has thrown his best at most of us here. And you're still here. Why? Because you're the ecclesia. You are the called out of God. You are the ones who God says, I'm going to win this world through the ecclesia. So Jesus, he confesses Jesus is who he was. You are the Christ. You are the one from God. This, he says, this wasn't revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. And then he goes on to say, and I will give you, I'll build my ecclesia. Upon this rock, I'll build my ecclesia. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Now that is pretty, pretty important. Isaiah says that the Father gave Jesus the keys, and now Jesus is saying, I give you the keys. Who? The ecclesia. Remember, he says, I will build my ecclesia, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So what comes with the ecclesia is keys to the kingdom, keys to access the things of heaven, and the things to close up, things to loosen. And that's what he goes on to say, that wherever you loosen will be loosened, wherever you bind will be bound, wherever you lock will be locked, and wherever you open will be open. So we need to, if Jesus says, I'm giving you the keys, what's the obvious question? What are the keys? What are the keys of the kingdom? What unlocks heaven on earth? What unlocks, what opens up things to us that we haven't got right now? And he gives us these in his word. Like Jesus says, here's the key for this morning. Jesus says, like, you remember the miracles Jesus done? He walked on water. Hello. He walked through a wall in John. He fed 5,000 of a couple of loaves and fishes. He made blind eyes open. He makes he causes lepers to be cleaned, the deaf to hear. He calls people out of mundane lives and their low living and black and white dreams, and he calls them into his world is full of vision and full of adventure and full of 3D, HD life that he calls it. A man that was up in the tree, you come down here, you're going to enter into my world now. A man living in the tombs that was cutting himself and screaming out at the moon, he goes over and he says, now I'm taking you out of your world and you're coming into my world. I mean, Jesus done many things. And then he says to the disciples, now you go and do the same. You're going to even do greater things than me. I'll give you the keys to do greater things. I'm going to show you how to unlock, how to live for me. Can you imagine the disciples? We're going to do this. And so I'm saying, how are we going to do? What's greater than raising Lazarus from the dead? What's greater than when a woman was in a funeral procession going down to bury her son, this widow of Nain, and Jesus, their crowd that were full of grief and pain and sorrow at losing a loved one, meets Jesus and his crowd, and when them two crowds meet together, the kingdom of God is opened up and the son is raised up from his coffin. I'm like, imagine the disciples here. We gonna do that? Is Jesus not asked us to do something? And then Jesus says, he says, this is the goal. I'm gonna send you into the world. You're gonna baptize in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. You're gonna disciple nations. How could you disciple a nation? Come on. Like not one person, but a nation. How is he gonna do this? He says, you're gonna lay hands on the sick. You're going to pray and see the maid well. You're going to stand on scorpions and snakes. They're not going to harm you. You're going to drink deadly poison. It's not going to go near you. I'd be like, come on, Lord. Am I Superman? Am I from another world? I'm going to need something more than who just little Noli is to be able to even stay living for Jesus. And this is the key. We're not going to be able to do it. The disciples were never going to be able to do it until they understood this key. He says to them, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says to them, he's now ascended, he's now, just before he ascends back to heaven, he's risen from the dead, been around for 40 days, appearing to people and all types of things, and then he meets them and he says to them, now listen, I want you to wait in Jerusalem. Part of the key of accessing the kingdom is learning how to wait on the kingdom. Part of accessing the things of the kingdom is learning how to wait. Because you're like me, I bet you, I want the nail. Some things have to wait. Some things is in his time. But he says, I want you to go and wait, and the Holy Spirit will come, and he will give you the power. He will clothe you with power, and you will go out into Judea and Samaria and all the other places, and the end of the earth. You will need power. You can't do this without power. You can't access what God wants us to access without the Holy Spirit infilling us, infusing us, infusing us, empowering us, equipping, enabling us to actually go and do all the things that Jesus says we can do. So the disciples went and waited in Jerusalem. They waited in what they called the upper room. Acts chapter 2, it says that a wind came from heaven, like sounded like a violent wind. Because see, Jesus was mentioning all through John. He says, the Father has a gift for you. The Father has a gift for you. And he says, then he says, you wait for the gift. Go to Jerusalem and wait. And then the gift came. So the gift, Jesus says, I will send the gift that the Father wants to give you. So Father has a gift that is sent by Jesus. Now, so the Holy Spirit, they're in the upper room. He came. Like what sounded like a violent wind came. And he seen what was like tongues of fire came and rested on each one of them. A flame came and rested on each one of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, it says. You can read it yourself. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with God. They were filled with the one who Jesus was filled with to do all that Jesus done. You read it, starting in Mark, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, filled Jesus. Jesus was brought into the desert by the Holy Spirit, came out of the desert in the power of the Holy Spirit and start doing the things of the Spirit of God. That was the Father's heart to show his heart to the earth. And Jesus says, look, I have keys I want to give you. The keys, if you want to do what I'm doing, you have to have what I had. So they went and waited, and they were filled. I remember Reinhard Bonnke saying, if you want to go as the disciples went, you have to have what they had to go. And we can't do it. We can't live this life. We can't breathe properly in the kingdom without the power of the Holy Spirit. Because what we'll do is kick back into our own self, our own ingenuity, our own lack. There's no lack in the Holy Spirit. Nothing. He's the one that brings it on. They waited and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were empowered and they spoke in another language. And there's lots of ways of looking at this, and people do look at it ways. How do I know that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit to do what God does? He gives you a sign. He knows. You don't get filled by mistake or incognito. He gives us a sign. Whether that's a praise, a prophecy, tongues, there's always something that is attached to being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not done. It's like, and some people say then, well, look, I got the Holy Spirit when I got saved. Yeah, you did. You are dead right 100%. When Jesus walked through the wall in John 20, I think it is. Imagine walking through the wall. I just love that, right? That he made himself or the wall come into the frequency of who he is and he walked through the thing. He made that water's frequency be something that he can stand on. And he goes in. Remember he says to the disciples, his peace I give you. He breathes on them, received the Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit. But then he went on to tell them, now wait for the gift of the Father, the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus went in the desert full of the Holy Spirit. And it says, listen, read it in Mark chapter 4 or something. And he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. There was a distinction between being filled, being receiving the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Why are we filled with the Holy Spirit? To do the works that Jesus called us to do. Is that good news? Do you want more? Because there is more. See, you know when God made us? I love this in Genesis. God made us. You know, he made the angels. How did he make the angels? Like, we know the substance he made us from. We were made from dust. But it doesn't tell us what he made the angels from. Maybe he just spoke them. He says, you know, you're going to look like this. Or let there be, do you know the one with all the eyes over him? I love that one, do you? That's who I want to see when I get to heaven. His eyes under his wings and on his head and on everywhere. I'm like, what a freaky looking thing that might be. But you know what? I don't know what they made him of. But all we know is this. When Satan was made of the same thing, Lucifer, he was an archangel. And there was pride found in him. Then God makes a new creation, man. And he makes him from the earth. Because earth speaks of humility. And pride was found in the heavenly beings. And yeah, he made man out of this. But man wasn't only made from something from the low. He was made of something from the high. He wasn't only made of something from the earth, but he was made of something from heaven. Because remember, God came and breathed into him. He gave him his breath. So that we could relate to him. So that we could have a relationship with God. And that we could be from the earth and relate to people on the earth at the same time. Would you notice in your walk with God that, I don't know, I'm 51 now. And everything that's off this earth, meaning my body, it's going to go back to that earth. And some parts is heading that way already, do you know what I mean? It's like everything that's going south wants to go back to the earth. But as I walk with God, everything that is made of God, everything that is breathed in me of God wants him. It wants more of him. That I haven't got enough. What I've seen is not enough because I know there's more. The people we've seen healed, set free, come to know Jesus. It's not enough. Mags has given us a whole presentation of another generation. It's never enough. It's never enough to go, I done this. This is what I accomplished. Or whatever words we want to use. It's never enough. You know why? Because there's more. And we had enough. Believe me, you're heading back to the earth. You're heading back to worldly thinking. You're heading back to the old. You're heading back to the old life. Because God wants to keep us dependent. Keep on looking to him. Keep on believing in him. And he gives them the Holy Spirit. And he wants to give us more of the Holy Spirit. The key to do what God wants to do is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That gives us access into the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Into the power of the Holy Spirit. The miracles of the Holy Spirit. Why would we settle for anything less? You know why great denominations that have rocked the world, do you know why they stopped? Because they, you know why they've non-existent? Do you know why some of the buildings are just tombstones to dead religion? You know why they become religious? Because they've stopped asking for more. They stopped, and you look at the Bible, it's in Judges, they stopped asking for more, and what happened when they stopped asking for more? They went back to the world. The earth, the man of earth, the red man, red clay, that's where he was made from, goes back to that. But if we keep calling out, Lord, I want more. So they were filled. Peter stands up and preaches. Because this key opens stuff up to us, opens doorways up to us. What is it, 3,000 came to the Lord, first sermon, boom. Put that in your newsletter and send it out to the world. They walked down, they said to Peter, what is this? Remember, Peter was the fearful one. Remember, Peter was the denier. Now he was standing up because empowerment of the Holy Spirit enables us to do things that we'd never do before. And I don't think us Irish need, I don't think we need much more vision. I think we need boldness to carry out the vision, to step over ourselves, to stop thinking of stop low living ourselves or low balling ourselves, putting ourselves down. And Peter was like that. He's like, no, I don't even know Jesus. I don't know nothing. And he's empowered by the Holy Spirit and he steps up into boldness. I nearly fell there. He steps up into boldness, into like, listen, men, listen, women, we're not drunk as you're supposed. We're being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's only 9 in the morning. There isn't enough license open in all of Jerusalem at this time. We've been filled with the, and he starts speaking to them. And they said, who is this for? And he says, for you, your children, and all those who are far off. And somehow in the Holy Spirit, Peter looked all the way down to this moment. It's for all of those in the centuries to come. How do we get this? Repent. That's what he said to them. 3,000 came to know the Lord. Hunky dory, everything is all right. No. They have a miracle. Remember the man outside the gate, beautiful. Silver and gold, he was crippled. He asked him for a few bob. Silver and gold I haven't got. He says, Lord, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the name above every name, every sickness, every disease, every problem, the name of Jesus. If it can be named, name his name above it, and it has to submit to it at some level, if not eventually. And you know what happens? Murder. Your man that gets healed runs into the temple. Can you imagine being crippled all those years? Brought there as a little baby, and next minute you have strength in your legs, and he runs into the temple thinking maybe everyone else is celebrating, and he runs in and no one's celebrating. Because you know why? He just got religious. Because a religious spirit never celebrates the success of others. Never rejoices. Like, look at him. Who does he think he is? I bet you he has no problems. Get a life. Everyone has problems. Everyone has situations. He goes in, they got brought before the Sanhedrin. Who are you to do this to this man? They got threatened. They got put in prison. They got told, you don't ever speak in this name again. They had boldness. Look, we obey you, or God, we're going to speak in this name. They got put into prison. And when they came out of prison, Acts chapter 4, when they came out of prison, the other believers were there. And it says this, that when they went in and they started praying, and it says that, they said, Lord, consider the threats of the people, of the Romans and the prisoners of Sanhedrin. And this is what they said, will you fill us with more boldness? Will you stretch out your hand for more miracles? Will you enable your servants to speak in the holy name of Jesus with great boldness? And it says they were all filled again. Because I know our lives. We can be filled 1 year, and then we go through threats, intimidation, failures, enter into new brokenness. And we think that was the end of it. And notice it says that when they've done that, Holy Spirit came and filled them. And the whole place was shaken. Whole place. Do you know what the key is? There's more. Jesus showed us there's more. There's more. Do you need more? There is more. Do you feel like what's after happening? Life is being drained out of me. My prayer life is gone. My enthusiasm for God. My faith is low. All that stuff. God says here, there's more. There's more for us. There's no ending to it. It's not like a tap that was turned on 22 years ago and now I was like, oh, I've just drained it out. You can't drain God out. You haven't got the capacity to drain out the power of God. Nobody has, and he wants to give more. And you know what our response has to be? Jesus, can I have it? Because I'm telling you, there's more for you to do. There's more, and there's people in Revelations. If I can find it. Chapter 3. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write this. I believe this is for some of us. This is the message from the one who was holy and true. He has the key that belonged to David And when he opens a door, no one can close it. And when he closes it, no one can open. I believe God is going to open new doors for us. I believe God's going to open new doors for you, that the things that the one who took the key is off the Father, and he says, now I want to give them to you. He's not only going to open new doors and fresh doors and doors that you've been knocking on. Remember, Jesus says, knock and it shall be opened to you. He's going to open some of those things that you've prayed for, longed for, believed for, cried out for, cried over. He says he's going to open. He says, listen to what he says. No one can close it and no one can open it. I know what you do. I know that you have little power. You have followed my teachings and have been faithful to me. I've opened the door in front of you, which no one can close. Listen. As for that group that belongs to Satan, those lawyers who claim they are, but they are not, I will make them come and bow down at your feet. They will all know that I love you because you've kept my commands and you've endured. I believe God is saying that there's been enemies against some of us, and he's going to bring them low. Things that, and I'm just talking about, our battle's not against flesh and blood, by the way. But those things that have been driving flesh and blood, those things that have been manifest through flesh and blood, those things, he says, I'm going to open the door for you and see what's against you. They will bow at your feet. You will walk over them. They won't trample over you. That's what he's going to give the ecclesia. Why? Because he wants to show the world through the ecclesia who he is. That's what he partnered with. So I want us to pray. I want us to bow our heads. I want us to just know. Listen to what he says. Whoever has an ear, let him hear. So if you've heard God through the worship, through the preaching of the word, open up right now. Do you know who has the key to your heart? You. He says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, but you have the key to your heart. He won't burst in the door. But he will come in at invitation. Lord, we want more. Lord, we need more. Lord, we call out to you for more. We're people of the Spirit. Everything in us, oh God, that is earthly and worldly, Lord, that is even in reaction or against the things of the Spirit, Lord, that we just submit it to you right now, Lord. We put that down, Lord, so that we can reach out for what is divine and what is right, Lord, and what is ours in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray for the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit for each one of us, O God. I pray, Father God, that there would be a cry in our heart for more, Lord. More of your love, more of your power, Lord. More of you in our lives, O God. Lord, I confess I can't do this without you. I can't walk without you, Lord. I can't live this life without you, Lord. I don't want to live without you, Lord. But Lord, I'm asking, O God, for each one of us. I'm asking, if you just want to respond, just stand up to God. Just, I have my eyes closed. I don't preach this for a response, sir. But like, just if you want to, just as a way, I believe God acts towards faith and acts toward, but just put your hand up or stand up if you can. Say, you're saying, Lord, I want more, Lord. I'm part of the ecclesia, Lord. I've been down, oh God. I've been discouraged, Lord. I've been, Lord, lacking somewhere, Lord. And you, Lord, why should I lack when you call me to live in fullness, oh God? And I ask and I reach out for more to the Holy Spirit. I want to be, look, I don't know about you, but I want to be a tongue talker, fruit living, like gift of the Holy Spirit, walking Christian. I don't want to be a religious addict. I want to be somebody who is living this out, trusting God. When I fall, get back up. When I fail, look for forgiveness. That's the Christian I want to be. That's the Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit that is saying, no, I'm not staying down because I know there's more. I'm not giving up because I know there's more. I may feel like I may even confess it at times, but I'm not going to do it. I love you, Jesus. You are my life, Jesus. You are for me, Jesus. You promised, Lord, in your word that you will give me the keys of the kingdom, the keys that will access what is mine in you, Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we ask for an upper room experience. We ask that your Holy Spirit would come, you would send the Holy Spirit, that you would come, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for this gift. And we receive you right now in the name of Jesus. We receive more. We receive more. I want to speak out the mysteries of God in tongues. That's what Paul says. When you speak in tongues, you're uttering the mysteries of God into your very atmosphere. Speaking God's language to create God's pathway for us. Lord, I pray for a powerful baptism of the Holy Spirit for each one of us, O God. That, Lord, those who have known the infilling, those who have known speaking in tongues, those who have known living in the fruits, those who have known walking out in the gifts of God, those who have known that, Lord. And, Lord, I ask for you to fill us afresh, there would be more, Lord God. There would be an increase, O God. That, Lord, our love for your word, our love for your presence, O God, your love, Father God, our love would be increased for your work, for your kingdom, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd break off, Lord, every negative thing that we've agreed with about ourselves that's contrary to your word. I break it off of you in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, I break off every hurt, Lord, every ill word that has been spoken against your plan and purposes for our lives, Father. I break it off and I release the lovely. I release the uplifting. I release the beautiful. I release the encouraging and the strengthening and the comforting of God into each of our lives, O God. I pray, Father God, for a new lease of life, O God, a new sense, O God. I'm grabbing onto something that is mine in Jesus. Would you put your hand on the shoulder of somebody beside you? Don't get freaked. I'm going to read a scripture over us to finish. And I want you to ask the Lord, if you've never done this before, I'm after releasing our ears to hear. I'm just going to read this simple psalm. We'll all know it. And I don't want to read it for you. I don't want you to just hear it for you. I want you to hear something for the person beside you. I want to activate hearing God for someone else. And whatever one of these verses lands on you for the person beside you, remember? Just tell them that I feel that verse was for you. And the Holy Spirit will give you some of the reasons why. Are you up for that? Are you up for that? So Lord, I just release activation. Hearing from God and speaking God. That this congregation, Lord, there's a movement here in the Spirit. I know there is. There's a movement here. It's been happening for weeks. It's been lined up with the preaching of the word and worship over the last year. And I release you to move in the things of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. So you're going to listen for someone else. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in fields of green grass and leads me to quiet pools of fresh water. He gives me strength. He guides me in the right paths as he has promised. And even if I go through the deepest, darkest place, I will not be afraid, for Lord, you are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff, they protect me. You prepared a banquet for me where all my enemies can see. You welcome me as an honored guest and fill my cup to the brim. I know that your goodness and love will be with me all my life, and your house will be my home as long as I live. Wherever portion of that landed, will you just turn to the person beside you? Say, hey, I felt this, or can I pray this bit over you? Will you turn now? Somebody start. Let them hear your voice. Your home is my home for as long as I live. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Yeah, just speak it to them. Just say, yeah, I felt that bit for you. And you'll be surprised right now how applicable that is to their life. So be bold. Be bold. If you look around and it's not for the person beside you, look around. It could be for someone else. The Holy Spirit will highlight that person. If nothing has landed, that's okay. If you have nothing to say, that's okay. Just speak a blessing over them. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Great is your faithfulness, O God. Great is your faithfulness, O God. Praise and glory and honor to your name forever, Lord. Let's just lift up his name if you're not talking to someone. Just thank him for this day. Thank him for filling you up. Thank you for saying he never let go of your hand. Thank you for the place, Lord, of being able to worship you, to be able to gather together, to lift your name up. Thank you for the blessings that we've received, that we are receiving, that we're going to receive, Lord. Thank you that you called us out as your ecclesia. Thank you that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, I can access the kingdom, Lord. Show each one of us the keys, Lord, through our situations, through our circumstances, how to access heaven into them, how to bring open heaven to bring it down to earth, Father God. Lord, there's many keys in the kingdom, Lord, that, Lord, this is just one, O God, and we ask, Father, for this week that there would be a release and a manifestation of those keys in our lives, O God, and keys we can give other people. Lord, we bless you. We thank you. I thank you for your people, the ecclesia, Lord. I thank you for their love, for their support, for their reaching out, for their loving your word, for reaching out for your presence, Lord. Thank you for their giving. Thank you for their serving, O God. And we say, Lord, increase, Lord, every aspect of each of our lives so that we can receive more to give more for your glory, Lord. Amen.